Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 14 in just a minute. I do want to say a huge thank you to all who were able to help out with the breakfast for the football team on this past Friday. We had about 60 football players here, and just a blessing to be able to serve them and to be able to share the gospel with them as well. So thank you for your help with that. It was definitely a blessing. I really do appreciate it. Some of you may not be aware of the fact that I have an older brother. I do. He is much older. I am the more athletic and better looking one. If he would, and humble too. Yes, don't forget humble. Kidding. On the humble part. While we keep in touch, we're not that close because there's 14 and a half years between us. My parents had my brother for a number of years there. They didn't think they were going to have any more children, and then they bought a new house, and about a year later, surprise, I came along. By the time that I was 3 and a half, my brother had gone off to college, so he wasn't around much when I was young. Literally a couple of years into college, he was drafted. Vietnam was coming to an end at that point, so rather than being sent to Vietnam, he was sent to Germany, so he spent a couple of years in Germany, so I just don't remember him being around much at all when I was young. So now you understand, I was an only child, so I'm spoiled. You get that. my wife gave a hearty amen to that. Now, I'm sure this is something you never did as a child, but I'm going to confess today. My mom is present today, so I'm confessing this to her as well. When I was a kid, if there was something that I wanted from my parents, I'd spend enough time with them that I developed an understanding of which one might say yes more likely. Okay, so there were certain things that if I wanted, I would go to my dad for. There were certain things that if I wanted, I would go to my mom for. Now, I'm sure none of you ever did anything like that, although I see a bunch of nods out there. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then on some occasions, I might go and ask my dad about something, and then he would say something like this, "Go see what your mother says." In which case, of course, I would say exactly that or not. I would go to my mother and say something like, "Well, Dad said it's okay if it's okay with you." I wouldn't manipulate that situation at all. I have noticed that my kids do the same thing. In recent times, in these days, it's through text. There are some texts that Brooks will send to me. There are some texts that Brooks will send to Mom. Now, he may not realize that I'm aware of this, but I know the reason behind that, because there are some things he knows if he asks me, he's more likely to get. If he asks her on other things, he's more likely to get from her. So, you know, we're all about this. The reality is we all want people to say yes. We all want people to say yes. Maybe we're struggling with something in our life, or maybe we're making the decision. And in our heart, maybe we know the decision is not the best thing in the world, but instead of going and asking somebody who will give us just the gut-level truth, we'll go ask somebody who will say yes, somebody we believe who will agree with us. We want God to say yes to everything we want. But the truth of the matter is God knows what's best in our life. And there are things that he doesn't need to say yes to. As a matter of fact, there are things that he knows would be detrimental to us, harmful even to us, if he said yes to those things. However, the God that we serve is so amazing and so wonderful that he wants to honor our request. But he wants us to understand how to pray. He wants us to understand how to approach him. So we're going to look at a text this morning that gives us some insight into the right way to pray. So 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. "This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. If anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask, and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin that doesn't lead to death." There is sin that leads to death. I'm not saying he should pray about that. And in verse 17, it's going to work, I promise. There we go. "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death." May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, and we thank you that your word is not a truth among many truths, but Lord, is the truth, the absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds today that we might hear from you. God, help us to apply this truth in our life that we might be what you've called us to be. And Lord, help us to understand a little more about how we should pray and how we should approach you in our prayers. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things today. Amen. You may be seated. So as we examine this text, I want to answer the question this morning, what is the right way to pray? What is the right way to pray? First of all, we need to ask in confidence, to ask in confidence that he hears. The text makes it very clear to us that we can have confidence that God hears. While we should come to God humbly with a healthy level of respect for who he is and what he's done, we can also come to him with confidence. I don't have to fear that I'm coming before some sort of dictator that only occasionally wants to hear from me. I don't have to fear that I'm coming before a judgmental God that just waiting for me to make a mistake in his presence. We have a loving heavenly Father that indeed wants to hear from us, and he wants to bless us. He wants to pour out his love upon us in our lives. So we can understand that he is not a God who is an angry God, but instead who is a loving God. Yes, he has to judge sin because it is a part of his character and a part of who he is, but he also loves us and shows grace toward us. Our God wants us to know him more and to have his wisdom. James certainly understood that in the book of James. We see in James 1, verse 5, that James says it like this, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." And let me pause here for just a second. We are having some issues with our remote, and we are working on that, folks, okay? So for those of you who have been here for a couple of weeks and we've been having issues, it is being worked on, so bear with us. Do apologize, but we are working on getting that corrected. We need to approach God with confidence. We need to approach God knowing that he wants us to be in his presence. He wants us to be with him. We can walk into his presence knowing that he wants us there. This is not license to ask for frivolous stuff from God. This is a promise to us knowing that we will be received. God will give to us generously because of his love for us, but we have to ask in faith and know that he hears and wants to bless. Now, some have asked the logical question, if God already knows what we need and already knows what we want, then why do we even have to pray and ask him for it in the first place? Well, first of all, God wants to hear from us. God wants to talk with us. He wants us to be in his presence. Anybody that has kids, you know you want to hear from your kids. You know you want to talk to them. Well, God wants to hear from us. He wants to talk with us. Yes, God knows what's going on in our life. No, he doesn't need to make himself complete by having us in his presence. He is complete without us. But he wants to hear from us. And he wants us in his presence. He is an amazing God who loves us more than we'll ever begin to know. And he enjoys time with us. But secondly, I believe that God wants us to acknowledge the source of all that we have. One of the reasons that God wants me to come into his presence, one of the reasons that God wants me to pray, is because he wants me to acknowledge who has provided what I have. You know, I don't have life without him giving it to me. I didn't somehow in that cosmos out there decide, I think I'm going to be born January 1st, 1967. I think I'm going to do that. I didn't have any ability in that. I didn't know anything about it. God did all of that. I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. But God does. I don't know 10 years from now, but God does. I don't know 100 years from now, but God does. You see, we have a Heavenly Father who knows all of it, and we need to acknowledge where what we have comes from. And when I come to him in prayer, I'm acknowledging that what I have is a blessing from him. And let me tell you what for us sometimes is the real stinker. Even the things that we don't like are still a blessing from God. Even the things that we don't like is still a blessing from God, because God is working all things together for our good. So even the things that are hard in life, even the things that are difficult in life, God is still working in those things for His good in our life. He knows what's best, and we need to acknowledge where those things come from, where those blessings come from. When we pray, when we come to Him in prayer, we're recognizing that He is in control. Finally, I think that prayer helps us to be transformed, to be more like Him. Do you realize that sometimes when we pray, we're not always asking for the right thing? All right, let me back up just a little bit. I can say for certain, for me, I can't say this for you, but sometimes when I'm praying, I'm not asking for the right thing. Sometimes for whatever reason, I'm just not focusing on what it is that God wants in my life, and I'm asking for something that, let's just be honest, is stupid. I shouldn't be asking for that. But because I'm kind of hard-headed sometimes, I'm missing it. I'm not seeing what it is that God wants me to ask. So in my coming to Him in prayer, God begins to transform my heart. And one of the things we need to do in our life is we ought to pray in our prayers, God, if I'm asking for the wrong thing, change my heart. Help me to ask for what You want me to have. Help me to desire what You want in my life. Not what I want, not what I think would be good, but what You know is best. God, please do that in my life. Transform my way of thinking. Help me to think like You. Help me to be conformed to Your image, not the image of the world. God is never confused. He knows exactly what is best for us. I have to confess that I've reached the age where I don't hear as well. Probably true, you know, when I was young, all that loud rock music's hurting your ears, you know. Sometimes it's just heredity. Sometimes maybe we did listen to stuff, or maybe we were around gunfire or whatever it was. Something can impact our hearing. But I don't hear as well as I used to. Now I still hear. But I know some people who are just blessed with tremendous hearing. Susie, for instance, can hear a whisper from 100 yards away. Con literally cannot mumble under his breath when he's walking away without Susie hearing it. That may be slight exaggeration, but Susie has great hearing. I, on the other hand, if there's a lot of noise in a room and somebody's talking to me, sometimes I might miss what you say. So let me just say right now, a personal apology, if I have ever answered your question the wrong way or just nodded like I understood what you said, it's because I don't hear well and I didn't have the heart to ask you to repeat it. Okay, I'm just apologizing now, because sometimes I'm sure I've answered a question that you didn't ask. But I know that I don't hear like I used to, but I want to say this. I know this as sure as I know that my hearing's not what it used to be, even more so. God hears everything. Everything. Have you ever thought about the fact that our Heavenly Father hears all of our prayers? Have you ever thought about, I mean, listen, even when I could hear better, if I was on the phone, I didn't want there to be other noise in the room. I didn't want to be distracted from hearing what I was trying to hear on the phone. God doesn't have to say, hold on a minute, Anna. I've got somebody else on the line. I'll get back to you in just a second. He hears us all at one time. How does He do that? You know, I can't hear two people talking to me at one time. I've got to hear one or the other. But God takes it all in, and He knows who it's coming from, and He hears us, and He's there every moment we want to talk to Him. You know, there are times my daughter, as most of you are aware of the fact, she's in Thailand right now, and she'll call sometimes in the morning on Facebook, and we'll do Facebook video messaging on Facebook. Great to have that technology. But there are times when she calls where I can't answer. And it's a bummer. I don't get to talk to her then. There are other times when I can, but there are times when I can't pick it up. But God never has that trouble with us. He always hears. He's always ready to listen. He wants to hear from us. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Perhaps there have been times in your life when you felt like nobody was listening. Perhaps there have even been times when you thought that God wasn't listening to you. But I want to say this to you clearly. Please set aside your feelings and trust His promises. Because the Word of God says He is always listening. And He will never leave or forsake you. He will always be there for you. He's always ready, and He always wants to hear from you. He promises us that He's listening. He promises us that He is there for us. Remember what God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says this, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God promises in his word that he will be there for us. You know, other people and other things will leave us. Other people and other things will desert us. They will let us down, but God will never desert us. God will never forsake us. We have a Heavenly Father that is always there for us, and we can trust his promise that you can come to him in confidence anytime and ask him, and he hears your prayers. So we see that the right way to pray is to ask in confidence that he hears. Secondly, the right way to pray is to ask in his will. To ask in his will. Of course, there's an entire false doctrine built around what some try to assert that this text is actually saying. I understand that if you're not willing to dig into the context of this verse, if you're not willing to dig into the context of all of Scripture, that you could take this out of context and come to the wrong conclusion about what John is saying here. But consider for a moment that if we take this text out of context, we could say that as long as I know that God hears me, I can ask him for whatever I want and he will give it to me without reservation. God is not obligated to give me what I ask him for. If I got down on my knees in just a few moments and said, God, I know you hear me, and because you hear me, I have confidence, you're going to give me $10 million. I am not suddenly going to be $10 million richer because I had confidence in the fact that God hears me. So do not let somebody mislead you about what this text is talking about. If I pray selfish and self-serving prayers, God is not obligated to answer those prayers in the affirmative. Another problem with this line of thinking is the problem of unconfessed sin in our lives. I could pray to God all day long, knowing that God hears my prayers, but still have unconfessed sin in my life, and because I have unconfessed sin in my life, God is not going to answer in the affirmative because I need to confess that sin first and deal with that before God will want to respond in my life. I have to deal with that sin. But it is also plausible that once I deal with that sin in my life, that God will actually change my heart and I won't ask for the thing that I thought I needed to ask for, because God is transforming. He is changing us. On the other hand, I want to make it very clear that it is never wrong to pray for the lost. And it is never wrong to pray for God to guide your steps. Those are two prayers I can promise you are in God's will. Now, there may come a time and you're witnessing to a lost person where God makes it clear that you're no longer to share with them. They've gotten to a point where they've pushed you away. They're not going to listen anymore. You say, well, preacher, how could you come to a conclusion like that? Well, I'm pretty sure it says in the New Testament, quit casting your pearls before swine. I'm sorry, that has a lot to do with what that verse is talking about. There becomes a time and a place when people will no longer listen to the truth of God, and then we're no longer obligated to keep doing that, but we are obligated to pray for them. Because God can change your heart. God can do a work in that life. And we can come to him knowing that he wants us to pray for the lost. We can come to him knowing that he wants us to pray for him to lead us in our life. And when we come to him and pray for him to lead us, it should not be lip service. It should be a willingness on our part to do whatever he leads us to do. Sometimes in our coming and asking God to lead us, we've already made up our mind in what we want to do, and God doesn't speak to us because we're already determined we're going to go our own way anyway. So God says, have fun. Enjoy the consequences, but you're going to miss me. But then again, he's the prodigal father waiting right there to receive us the moment we turn. The moment we come back to him, he greets us. So what is John getting at here? I believe that John is getting at the reality that we can know with certainty that God hears and he does answer. It may not always be the answer we want, but when God hears our prayers, he answers our prayers. Sometimes God immediately says yes. Sometimes God immediately says no. And way too much for my taste, God sometimes says wait. I don't like wait. Just give me yes or no, I'm good with that, I'll go on. Wait. I don't like that. But you know, one of the things I've learned in my Christian walk, many times it's in the waiting where I grow the most. Many times it's in that time of seeking God and searching God and coming to Him and waiting on His timing that He grows me so much more than if He had just said yes or no to begin with. Sometimes, frankly, I'm not quite ready for the answer. I have to confess in this area that I feel a little bit inadequate to speak to this particular issue because I struggle with it myself. But I've observed that we live in a culture today that struggles with delayed gratification. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We struggle with delayed gratification. In our culture today, if we see it and we want it, we've got to have it now, so we buy it even if we can't afford it. It was such a good deal. I mean, how could we pass it up? I mean, it was way on sale. It was like 80% off. I've got 10 more at home just like it, but it was 80% off. It was a great deal. I mean, that would have been, you're going to like this one, Doug, that would have been bad stewardship to leave it at the store. It was 80% off. Never mind the fact that we put it on a credit card that we won't be able to pay the bill on at the end of the month, and interest will be building on that we didn't pay in that deal that was so good to begin with. It's not so much of a deal now. There are times in our life when God wants us to understand the principle of delayed gratification. It's in, you see, too many times we pursue Him for the stuff rather than pursuing Him for Him. Sometimes we're pursuing Him for the answer from Him rather than pursuing Him for knowing Him more. And God wants us to pursue Him for knowing Him more, and then the answers will come. That ain't from me. That wasn't even in my notes. When we're praying and seeking God's face, we need to know that He hears. We need to know that God wants to spend time with us, that He loves us, and He loves having us come to Him with our burdens, with our hurt, with whatever request we have. And I would love in my own life to be able to give my kids whatever they want. But there's a couple of things that I've learned in my life. First of all, unlike God, I don't own the cattle on 1,000 hills, so I don't have unlimited resources. But number two, I've also learned from my Heavenly Father that not everything my kids ask for is what they need. And God knows that in our life as well. And we need to give God room and permission in our lives to say, you don't need that. That's not for you. When I pray to my Heavenly Father, I know He hears me. We've already established that, but I also give Him room to withhold things that He knows that I don't need. And I need Him to tell me the hard truth when I'm asking for something that's not right for me. I need to know the hard truth that there's something that I need to learn from Him, that there's something that I need differently from what I'm asking for. My prayer is that God will shape and mold my heart so that more and more, when I pray, I'll be praying exactly what He wants me to pray, and I'm praying in His will. I want God to work in my heart that way, and I want to pray in His will, because those prayers are prayers He answers in the affirmative. Why wouldn't you want God to make your heart more like His? Why wouldn't you want God to make your heart more like His? Are you afraid of what He's going to ask you to do? Are you afraid of how He's going to want you to spend your time? Are you afraid of how it's going to affect your money? Because now all of a sudden you're going to have to give in a different way. Are you afraid of who He's going to make you talk to? Are you afraid of who He's going to make you apologize to? Are you afraid of who He's going to make you forgive? Why won't we come before God and say, God, make my heart more like Yours? Make my heart beat the way Your heart beats. Make me compassionate about the things that matter to You. God, make me more like You. Half-hearted will never do in the Christian faith. Half-hearted will never do. And we settle for some of God instead of all of God. And we settle for a little bit of ourselves instead of giving everything of who we are to Him. listen, I can't make you go with me, but I don't want to settle for half-hearted. I don't want to settle for less than what God wants for me, and I don't want to settle for less than what God wants for this church. But you have to decide whether or not you're going to be a part of that. You have to decide whether or not you're going to be obedient to Him. And I want to say to you, I believe God is so worth it. He is so worth it. And nothing else even compares to Him. So let's follow after Him. So we see the right way to pray is to ask in confidence that He hears and to ask in His will. But finally, the right way to pray is to intercede on the behalf of a brother or sister. To intercede on behalf of a brother or sister. Back in verses 16 and 17, it said this: if anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask, and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin that doesn't lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I'm not saying he should ask about that. And then in verse 17 it says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death. Now, like it or not, we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in the faith. We have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in the faith. When we see a brother or sister living in sin, the thing that we should do is to pray for them. We shouldn't call up Aunt Sally and say, well, have you seen what so-and-so is doing? Because my heart is broken for them. Really? Really? We shouldn't post something about them on Facebook and leave their name off. We shouldn't have a prayer request in our Sunday school class so that we can share that concern with them. Sisters, would you pray? Let me throw brothers in there too. I don't want to offend anybody. Brothers and sisters, would you pray for Johnny? He's been seen with people who wear white after Labor Day. He's so wayward. Honestly, we need to take sin seriously. And if we're going to be biblical about it, when we see a brother or sister in sin, we should pray for them. And then the next step is not to talk to somebody else about it, but instead to go to them. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. We go to them and we talk to them. But before we ever go to them, we better spend some time on our knees, maybe even on our face before God, asking God to work in their life, to cleanse us so that we'll handle things in the right way before we even approach them. The sin that leads to death here is ultimately the sin that keeps us from God. You know, the bottom line, obviously, is rejecting God. But let me tell you what happens too many times. Too many times, there's other sin going on in our life. There's other sin in our life that keeps us from God. It may be a sin of pride. It may be something in our life that we're doing that we don't want to give up. And ultimately, because of that sin, we're rejecting God. I'm afraid that pride is keeping some people in here from Jesus. You see, Billy Graham said it years ago. You've heard me say it many times. Billy Graham said years ago that he believed that 50% of the church is lost. 50% of the church is lost. And here's what burdens my heart. That there could be people sitting here this morning, 10 years old, they were in a revival service and everybody was going forward and they got caught up in the motion and they went forward and they didn't have a clue what they were doing. A few weeks later, when they went down to the river, they got baptized with everybody else and everybody said, man, that's awesome. But in the midst of all that emotion, in the midst of all that rush, they never gave their heart to Jesus. And I got to tell you, if you're counting on anything other than Jesus to get you into the kingdom of heaven, you're counting on the wrong things. Church membership doesn't count for anything. I want to tell you that if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're no different from the lost person out there who is good and decent and honest. The only difference between you and him or her is that you're in church today and they're not. And if you just want me to be blunt about it, they're being more honest with themselves than you are. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You see, here's the truth. There are going to be good and honest and decent people in hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, so that wouldn't have to be the case. To give us the opportunity to ask His forgiveness and to place our faith in Him. Don't let pride cause you to miss eternity in heaven. I mean, I cannot even begin to think of a great way to illustrate eternity to you, but if you could imagine there was a line that went around this building and just continued on that it couldn't end, because obviously we can't do that, but if that line went on continuously, your life is just a dot on the line of eternity. And are you going to let pride right now on that dot keep you from spending eternity in heaven? I pray that you don't. I pray that you don't miss out on what Jesus wants to do in your life. Please don't cling to the wrong stuff and end up on that day of judgment realizing you've been clinging to wood, hay, and stubble instead of the firm rock, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. You don't ever have to wonder if it's right to pray for the lost or to pray for a brother or sister that's struggling with sin in their life. We need to pray for them, and God wants to see them get free from that sin as well. There may come a day in your life, or it may already be here, where you're struggling with something in your life. Don't you want your brothers and sisters in Christ to be praying for you? Listen, I want to say to you today, if you think you have a perfect pastor, you don't. My wife will give testimony to that. My son will too. You don't have a perfect pastor. I will never, ever be upset with you for praying for me. Maybe if you were praying that God would strike me, but if you're genuinely praying for me, that's a blessing to me. And we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in the faith. It is never wrong to pray for our brothers and sisters to be closer in their walk with God. It is never wrong for us to pray for those that we know that are lost. As a matter of fact, I want to encourage you to pray for those that you know that are lost by name, regularly. You've heard me say many times that I like to go to the gym in the morning, and I try to get over there around 7:30, maybe a little before. And then I usually try to be done by about 8:30, but sometimes there'll be conversations that will happen that will make that run a little bit longer, and I won't get out as quickly as I'd like to get out. But I don't work out with anybody. I'm self-motivated enough that I can go in there, and I know what I like to do, and I go in there and do that, and then I get out of there as quickly as I can. But I know some people, and I know this to be a reality, when you do have a partner working out with you, they have a tendency to push you beyond what you do yourself. And I know a couple of guys that work out over there that I see in there pretty regularly, and they're good about pushing one another along. You know, they may get to that last set, and they may, you know, get in their ear and encourage them to lift harder, to do another rep, to go on, to be better. And they sometimes they joke with one another. Sometimes they'll pick on one another. Sometimes they just do things to encourage one another. But I know the two of them are better because they're working together. I want to say to you, having the body of Christ makes you better in the faith if you're willing to be accountable to your brothers and sisters. We need one another. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need one another to grow. We need one another to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be pushed beyond what we would do on our own. A lot of people are afraid of being accountable and are afraid that someone will get in their business. However, we need people to hold our feet to the fire. I don't live in isolation as a Christian, and frankly, you can't be a Jesus follower and live in isolation. While our relationship with Jesus is personal, it cannot be private and be a follower of Christ. Our relationship must be public. If we fall in love with God, we'll want others to have what we have, and we'll care about our fellow believers. So let me ask you, do you care about your fellow church members? Do you care whether or not they walk closely to the Lord? I don't mean in some sort of self-righteous way. Well, they sure do need to get right with Jesus. I don't mean anything like that. I mean that we genuinely care, that we grow in Christ. If you don't care about them, be honest with yourself today and ask God to change your heart, to make you more compassionate and more concerned about your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We are never wrong when we pray for our brothers and sisters, when we pray for God to draw them closer to Himself. And we're never wrong when we pray for God to work in the life of a lost person. We're praying in God's will when we lift others up, when we intercede on their behalf. The right way to pray is to ask in confidence that He hears, to ask in His will and to intercede on behalf of a brother or sister in the faith. We don't pray enough, and we don't use this tool nearly enough. When we get serious about our prayers and we grow up and mature in our prayer life, we'll see God do mighty things among us. I'm afraid that too many times our prayers are pretty small. I'm not picking on you because I do the same thing. But let me just say, if the depth of our prayer is, God, thank you for this beautiful day. Amen. It is a beautiful day and we should thank God for it. But there ought to be a time in our prayer where we really come before Him and say, God, please change my heart. As Paul would say, Lord, you know the sinner that I am. Change me. Make me more like you. And for my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, God, draw them closer to you and help me to be an encouragement to others. And God, for those that don't know you, I pray you'd work in their heart. And God, let me specifically pray for these folks. Our prayers have to be more than just, Lord, thank you for this food. Lord, thank you for providing for me. Those are things we should pray for. Those are things that we should thank God for. But we need to move beyond that. But let me even go to this extent to say we need to pray big prayers. God, help us at Pleasant Grove Baptist be a part of taking Gilmer County for you. Help us to be a part of sharing the love of Christ with everybody in Gilmer County. Everybody. Don't pray small prayers because we don't serve a small God. Pray big prayers because we serve a great God who wants to do great things. Are we going to be a part of that? Listen, if you're here today and you've never asked God's forgiveness, you've never placed your faith in Him, the prayer you need to pray today is to ask His forgiveness and agree with Him that you are a sinner and that He and He alone can save you. There's no magic sequence of words. You just got to honestly in your heart say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know you and you alone can save me. Whatever way you need to say that to Him and ask Him into your life. He will forgive you and you can leave here today knowing that you have eternal life. But I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. If you do that today, have the courage to say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We've already been reminded even through baptism that we can say publicly, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. But if you pray and invite Him into your life today, I'll be down front during the invitation. I want to ask you to get out of that pew and come forward and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I asked Him into my life. I want to live for Him. Christian, if you realize that you haven't been living the way that He would have you to live, if you haven't been praying the kind of prayers that He would have you to pray, if you haven't been praying in His will, then ask God to forgive you, but to help you have a prayer life that will honor Him. And maybe part of that step for you today is to come and kneel at this altar. You're right when you say you don't have to come to the altar to pray, to do business with God, but sometimes just that act of getting out of the pew, coming and kneeling at the altar is the step that you needed to take to say, God, I am burdened by this, and I want to see this happen in my life. And sometimes it's in that step where we find that freedom in Him, knowing that God hears and answers our prayers. You may have a burden that you need to give to Him today. Don't carry it around because He didn't mean for you to. He wants to minister to you in it. But are you willing to give it to Him? Whatever you need to do right now in this invitation, let Him have His way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for allowing us to study your word together. Lord, for instructing us in your word and how we can pray and how we can be reminded of the fact that you hear our prayers. But God, help us to be transformed by you so that we might indeed be praying in your will. And Lord, help us to love our brothers and sisters enough to lift them up to you as well. And Lord, especially to pray for those that don't know you. God, anyone here today that doesn't know you, I pray you'd work in their heart right now. They'd have the courage to ask your forgiveness and trust in you. And then to step out of that pew and come and share with me that they've placed their faith in you. God, I don't know what hurts, what burdens are here today, but I know that you do. So I'm asking you to meet and minister to each need. God, we give this invitation time to you. We ask you to have your way in this place. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.